This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Here's a headline that kind of stops you in your tracks. Do religious people have a hotter sex life? Especially when it appears in Psychology Today instead of, say, Cosmopolitan. Nigel Barber is an evolutionary psychologist and author of the Human Beast blog on Psychology Today, where he put together the results of several different studies to address this provocative question. A warning to concerned parents and sensitive listeners that we will be discussing the existence of sex, pornography, and sexual hypocrisy in this segment. Nigel Barber, great to have you with us.
Great to talk to you, Virginia.
Now, I suppose the question is meant to draw us in, but can hotter sex actually be quantified?
Oh, that's a great question. And of course, you know, when you put up a title like that, it's because you hope that somebody's going to read your article. My concept of a hotter sex life is that it's more impulsive. In other words, that they do things in the spur of the moment and that they follow wherever the moment leads them. I'm not talking about, you know, whether they have a more gratifying sex life as such. You know, I'm just saying that it may not be as much under wraps, and it may not be as much under control, which, of course, is sort of surprising because we often think of religious people as having very high sexual standards for themselves. My point of departure is that given that not just Christians, but I think people in most world religions have this very high expectation about their own sexual behavior in terms of chastity and things of that sort, do they live up to it?
Well, you do point out the white bear effect on human behavior. First, explain that to us.
Yeah, this idea was put forward by a social psychologist at Harvard called Daniel Wegman. His idea was that you give people a task, in his case, told people not to think about a white bear. And he found that when you do that,
it's in my head right now.
They can't comply. And, it's kind of fun to do that yourself, you know, just do it privately. You say, I'm not going to think about this, and it drifts into your consciousness.
So the idea is don't think about sex, don't think about sex. And, of course, it leads people to think.
It leads to the opposite.
Actually feeding sexual obsession. Now, this underscores some of the humiliations of public figures, of course, we have on the record. You know, often people most outspoken about sexual behavior who, I guess, have trouble controlling those impulses, and ultimately they get caught doing the wrong thing.
That's right. You can always find people of any political persuasion involved in scandals, of course, but it's always jarring when the people involved are doing exactly the opposite of what they say everybody else is supposed to be doing.
The Larry Craigs, the Mark Foleys,
correct,
the Jimmy Swaggarts, Henry Hyde, Ted Haggard.
Right.
You write about a controversial study of a high incidence of religious people exhibiting sexual behavior that does not conform to family values. Tell us about some of these results.
Yes. Well, one of the early studies here, which is very difficult to talk about because it's, you know, from a lot of different points of view, but it involves casual sex between men in a public restroom. And this study was published in 1975, and the author's name is Lord Humphreys. And what he did was he became friendly with the participants, and he wrote down their car tag numbers. And by sheer force of conmanship, he managed to get the addresses from the motor vehicles department.
Wow.
And he went to the people's homes and interviewed them. But he reported that most of these people involved in gay sex in public restrooms were married, and that was the first shock. And the second shock was that most of them appeared to be very religious, in the sense that he saw Bibles and mantelpieces and that sort of thing.
Hmm. How about pornography? Any kind of read on who's using pornography?
Well, yes, and once again, this is a very interesting and very ingenious study, which involved the number of people with subscriptions to online pornography, which compared different states, was that the more religious a state was, the more pornography consumption there was, the more people had subscriptions to online porn. There was a number of other interesting conclusions from the study as well. They found that when they looked at specific religious attitudes, people who believe in miracles being performed by the power of God and so forth, people who endorse these opinions are more likely to be subscribers to online pornography.
Well, you're an evolutionary psychologist. What is your thought? I mean, especially in the Christian religion, there's this idea that your sins will be forgiven, you can be redeemed. Is there this cycle of sinning and redemption that's somehow getting played out? What's your theory?
That depends on which religion you actually belong to. I mean, if you're a Catholic, that applies for some kind of Protestants, not so much.
Yeah.
There are differences, but that may well be the case. In other words, it may well be that because you feel like you're covered. You can be absolved of all your sins that possibly you don't have to feel too bad about not always behaving very well. But, you know, my feeling is that really it's not theological. It may be a great deal simpler, which is to say that human beings have strong sex drives. And, you know, it's like any other vital drive, if you will. You can't just decide not to have it. It's very difficult not to eat, very difficult not to drink. And so for somebody who's young and in their sexual prime, it's very difficult not to think about being involved with the person in terms of a romantic relationship of some sort.
Maybe religious people are more likely to have impulsive sex, but maybe not feel as good about it. I'm reading a study last year, now this is from
Yes.
Kansas University, about atheists having far better sex lives than religious people who are plagued with guilt during intercourse and for weeks afterwards, researchers have found non-believers more willing to discuss sexual fantasies, more satisfied with
Yes.
their experiences. So is there something here, you know, the guilt and the lack of satisfaction may be driving more impulsive sexual behavior?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I think that's particularly relevant to pornography. There's also evidence of a more anecdotal nature that churches have a problem about their members using pornography and actually using pornography on church computers, if you can believe that. You might imagine that there's an element to that involved, in particularly in pornography, where people feel this is very bad, therefore very interesting, whereas somebody who's less religious mightn't be as interested in it. They mightn't see it as being as forbidden and therefore mightn't have the allure of forbidden fruit in that sense.
I'm wondering, Nigel, have you had any complaints, pushback since posting this article online? A lot of people get very angry when you accuse people who are religious of being hypocritical in their behavior.
Well, I think that the evidence is kind of disarming in that sense, because I didn't make up any of this. I mean, I'm just saying what the research has found. And, I mean, it's surprising to me, and I don't have any axe to grind as far as that's concerned. I mean, I don't believe that religious people are any better or any worse than people who are secular or atheist. Even though some people, you know, might be somewhat offended by it, you know, aren't they offended when they read the same thing in the newspapers every day? You know, much worse things in some cases. I just find it interesting in terms of how sexual behavior is controlled and regulated, and indeed whether it's possible to control and regulate it in the way that religious precepts often suggest.
Nigel Barber, he's an evolutionary psychologist. He's author of the Human Beast blog, which is available on Psychology Today and also on the Huffington Post. His new book is called Why Atheism Will Replace Religion. We do have links to read his blog posts and also more on him and his books. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, well, you might find. Just my phone. Jimmy, a man, did he look pretty ill? We decided that we would have a soda, my favorite flavor, cherry red. I sung my song to Mr. Jimmy, yeah, and he said one word to me, and that was then I said to him, you just my vibe.